Good morning, folks, and welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast. Today we have Joan Davis from Family Mediation NI, and Joan's going to tell us a wee bit about her work and what Family Mediation NI does. So, Joan, you're very welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast series. And I suppose you're very welcome and thank you for agreeing to do our wee podcast. So the first question...
It's a pleasure, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a great opportunity to allow me to talk more about Family Mediation NI.
Happy days, that's great. Well, and there you go. Let us get into it. Tell us a wee bit about the service, now, Joan.
Yes, well, there are three strands to the service. Well, firstly, it's 21 years old, so we have a birthday to celebrate if it wasn't for COVID. Mm-hmm. So we are a registered charity, and we've been in existence 21 years delivering independent, impartial family mediation to families in dispute, and the vast majority of those that would come through our doors would be separated parents. Mm-hmm. So there's the separated parents project, which is funded under procurement with the Health and Social Care Board. There is the wider family mediation, which is a different project that works with sort of adult siblings and parents and other family members that may be in dispute over property, wills, care packages, those that have been diagnosed perhaps with dementia, and how the family can agree to protect and look after that loved one. So families will fall into dispute about many things. So the wider family project is there to help them find their own solutions that suit their family. Mm-hmm. And the third strand to it is in the voluntary sector. Family Mediation NI is the only approved trainer of family mediators. So our training program is approved by the College of Mediators in the UK and the Mediators Institute in Ireland. So that's essentially the three strands of the service.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess now I know very little, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. Yes. Or if I, when it comes to sort of mediation, or I get children being involved, the negative impact of conflict is, mm-hmm. do you do any work around that, or sort of awareness raising, or mm-hmm. to parents about the negative impact that all this sort of conflict potentially can have on children?
Yes, well, it's part and parcel of the mediation process, really, because the mediation process for separated parents is child-focused. Mm-hmm. It is early intervention, and that's why we are funded to work with those who want to work with us to prevent entry into the adversarial court process, because all of the research indicates that high conflict and prolonged engagement with the court service is detrimental to the child's development. So mediation worldwide is seen as an early intervention service that isn't counselling, it mm-hmm. isn't therapeutic, it's a very practical, constructive process that puts the parents in the driving seat, because the parents are responsible for bringing the children into the world. The parents are therefore responsible to find their own path, to find their own agreed co-parenting plan, to move forward as separated parents, but have an agreement in place that puts the child at the centre of everything. So the impact of separation is minimised for the children. So, I mean, there's lots of research out there that would strongly say separation itself is not a bad thing per se. It's how parents manage it. So part of the process that the qualified mediator is working with parents to subtly, if you like, introduce child development aspects and encourage parents to think about their behaviours and how they think their behaviours will be impacting on children. Because mm-hmm. I think it has to be said, I think most of us know when we're in an emotional state ourselves, or full of anxiety or anger or frustration, Often we're quite self-centered. We're thinking about ourselves, and we're not often thinking about the child or the impact on the child. And I do believe, and from everything I hear within our organisation, is parents are not really that aware of the long-term implications of their behaviours on the development of their child going mm-hmm. forward. So mm-hmm. there does need to be more work, I believe, done in that. We're knowledgeable about adverse childhood experiences. We have mm-hmm. all the information is there within all of the family support services and within social services. Everyone knows this at a professional level. But it's not trickled down to parents. We need more education mm-hmm. for the parents. And I mean, that's not our job. I mean, our job is to deliver a mediation service. But part of that is giving wee bits of homework, if you like, to parents between their sessions yeah. as to how they're going to trial out their agreements, what they're going to read, what they're going to research. So it's a drip effect mm-hmm. Because it's not an educational program per se. I mean, there are other services that do that very well. Mm-hmm. But as part of moving the parents forward in the mediation process, they have to be aware that the focus is on the child's well-being.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that separated parents in general are aware of sort of the options in terms of support services when they're going through a separation or when they're separating?
No, Paul, they're definitely not. I mean, it's a very good question because, I mean, I think we face this every day in Northern Ireland. And sadly, there's still, I mean, it has to be said, there's still a stigma. In certain quarters within Northern Ireland, there's a stigma attached to being a separated parent. And I think we need collectively to work harder to just dispel that and dismiss that. People default to the legal process, it has to be said. Northern Irish people are still very, you know, litigious in the sense that they default to the law on just about everything. Mm-hmm. And so therefore family breakdown is no different, and their family and their friends and their work colleagues will all advise them informally to seek out a good solicitor. So it's actually sad that when you consider there is a genuine other option where they can take control mm-hmm. of their separation, they can learn to manage the conflict, and they can learn to communicate in a different way around how they have their children moving seamlessly between two houses. And that service is there, but unfortunately, the mm-hmm. vast majority of the population don't know. Mm-hmm. And we have a very small publicity budget, and the very small budget across mm-hmm. the whole of the service. So people find us, you know, via Google, or perhaps a solicitor might refer them to us, or perhaps they pick up a leaflet in the days when people were in venues to pick leaflets up. So that generally speaking, people default to what they know, and what they know and what is perpetuated via the media and other outlets is that you need a good solicitor. Yeah. Whereas what we're saying is, when it's safe to do so, obviously we're speaking about parents that are separating, that are not involved in domestic violence or, you know, domestic abuse. We're talking about all the other parents that trot through the courts for contact orders. Those parents can work that out themselves. They do not need to be in the court system. They do not need a judge to tell them when the child sees mum and dad. They can work that out themselves, and they can work it out under the funding for free. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it reduces the emotional costs and the financial costs mm-hmm. of separating, and they can work on all of the minutiae of detail that parents will argue about and fight about, and that the courts aren't geared up for. Mm-hmm. I mean, the court will just make a contact order, but it's around, you know, when the children see their different sets of grandparents and other extended family. I mean, who has the child for this birthday and Christmas, and how do they manage holidays, and how do they manage pickups from schools and extracurricular activities? All the minutiae of detail of family life mm-hmm. can be worked through in a mediative process.
Yeah. I suppose now I'm moving on to the bigger scene about government. Can government assist, or what approach can they have on parents managing family breakdown? Do you think?
Yes, well, we think, and we do lobby, and we do believe that government departments have much more to do. I mean, we have a significant number of strategies being reviewed at the minute, including the Family Matters strategy. You know, we have the mental health strategy being consulted on, and this all links into, I mean, poorly managed conflictual separations have a long-term effect on both parents, on the children, on the grandparents. So, you know, it's linked to everything that we all do and how we function. So it can't be ignored or boxed. So government departments and their policymakers really do need to sit up and accept that there is an issue here. There is an issue, and teachers are saying it, and schools are saying it, and the child's education will be impacted upon. So we need the departments to work together under the Children's Cooperation Order to raise the profile of family breakdown and how you can be supported to manage it. You know, we believe the Public Health Agency could be involved in a campaign with all of the family support organisations to raise the issue and get a debate and a discussion started around what you do at this point, who is there to support you, how you can be supported to be the best parent you can given what you're going through at this horrendous time. Because if this conflict is ignored, it has a debilitating impact on the parents' ability to parent effectively. So therefore we have another generation of children who are maybe going to drop out of school and do all sorts of antisocial things. So there's a funding aspect, there's no doubt about that. But besides funding, there is an awareness raising campaign that really should be led by government, and it can be done sensitively. And it's not about penalising or persecuting or judging people. It's a reality of life that relationships will break down, and I think we have a responsibility to support dads and mums to be the best parents they can whilst they are dealing with this huge upheaval in their life. And, you know, the other thing, Paul, that's often missed is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, Article 9 and Article 18, clearly state that the child has the right to a healthy and safe relationship with both parents. But unfortunately that those rights are being trampled upon every day of the week, and it is a huge mental health epidemic, and we are hearing it on the phone every day. So it is long past time that that Family Mediation NI were not working in a silo on their own, that there's a bigger, wider discussion to be had. And, you know, we work collectively with other of, I mean, the Dads Direct project, which we're involved in, obviously, with the other family support organisations. But again, it's that's under-resourced. You know, we don't have the resources to really do a huge awareness campaign ourselves. So, which is why we're speaking to yourself and others to try and get the bigger conversation going.
Right, so, Joan, do you have a website, or how can people contact you? So what's your contact details?
Certainly, they can phone on 02890 243265, and they can email at enquiry@familymediationni.org.uk. And they can check us out on our website, www.familymediationni.org.uk. So I'm hoping that, those that listen to this will maybe check us out and phone us and have a chat around how perhaps engaging with us could help them in some way. I mean, obviously we need both parents to engage voluntarily. But it's, you know, it's a non-judgmental, impartial, confidential service, so they need not fear
That's so perfect. The opportunity now presents itself. We have given the information out. We've had a wee chat, and that's been very informative for myself. I mean, I knew very little about family mediation, Joan. So I mean, you're talking to you've just enlightened me into your service. So we'll certainly be pushing that. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But now, Joan, that's us, I guess that's us finished. But before we let you go, we always ask all participants of their dream job. And you're not allowed to say you're in your dream job, even though you know a lot of people would want to say they're in their dream job. But so over to you now, Joan. This is your last question. What is your dream job?
I suppose there's probably two strands to this, but isn't there's always two strands to everything. I suppose if I had to live my life over again, what I actually would have liked to have done would have been travelled the world with an orchestra. You know, like the likes of the Ulster Orchestra or something like that. I would love to have done something in music or dance, something in that world. But I always thought, gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be in an orchestra, because you get to play an instrument, but you get to go to all of these fantastic cities around the world. But the other area would be something in child psychology or psychiatry, something like that I would be attracted to, or criminology, something of that ilk.
Well, suppose now, and this leads me on to another question. Now we're getting into, I don't know, I don't even know if the word is hyperboles or whatever, but do you play a musical instrument?
Yes, well, I did play the piano, but I haven't for a while now. I've sort of, drifted away from it. Yeah, but we would have been, as when we were small, as children, we all played an instrument at different times. And but it's just one of those things that you think, gosh, yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. Well, it's not that far-fetched, at least. If I wanted to play a musical orchestra, I would be, I'm snookered right away, because I've no musical ability and I can't play any musical instruments. So, and I can't sing, so I think I'm bait. Anyway, Joan, thanks very much for your contribution today. That was really, really informative. And
thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate
not
that.
Not at all. And we'll be in touch. Talk again.
Thanks a million.
Thank you. See you now. Bye-bye.